Predators general manager David Poile is on the line, and my suspicion is he's been busy over the last few days. David, appreciate you doing this. And I want to make sure that however we ask all of this, that we do this with the right respect, because obviously some things have gone on that have made your life a whole lot more difficult in the last 3 or 4 days. Here's one I do want to ask. In an age and a time where we have the ability to conference call and email and fax and text and all the things that I don't totally understand, why is it taking till Friday for an arbitrator to give you all answers that honestly you needed 3 or 4 days ago?
Well, that's a fair question. The NHL and the NHLPA has just one arbitrator to handle grievances. And again, there's obviously timeliness in this case. Maybe in other grievances, there's not. I'd probably say in most grievances, there's not a timeliness for situations. The arbitrator was not available right away. The earliest that he could be available is Friday. That's probably, in a nutshell, why we are having the hearing on Friday and not before that. So it's not a perfect situation. I mean, there's probably only a dozen grievances in the course of the year, I would think. So it's not like you need to have 5 or 6 arbitrators. And this is one of those things that, you know, nobody saw coming.
I want to be sensitive to how I ask this. What do you really think is going to come out of Friday?
Well, again, I appreciate you being sensitive to ask for. I mean, I hope and feel that we should prevail. But again, there was a situation that took place that the Players Association thought was not the right way to do your qualifying offers, and thus they filed this grievance. I mean, whenever you have any type of a somebody takes one side, somebody takes the other side, there's always a danger that no matter how good you think your position is, that you could lose. So it's a little bit of a nervous time, to be very, very bottom line for us. I've had conversations with the agents and the players. All the players want to play here, but again, the PA is a very powerful organization, and they feel that they have different rights than they did prior to us making a qualifying offer. So we have to go through with this hearing on Friday, and hopefully we'll have done our homework and done the right things, and everything will be fine.
I'm going to lob about as underhanded a softball as I can get you here. For those who don't understand what you did this weekend in the deal that involved Matthew Lombardi, not that I'm some hockey whiz and understand every last piece of all these strategies, but it's clear to me that you've had to try to clear some decks for whether it's option A based on an arbitrator's ruling, option B based on the arbitrator's ruling, option C, Shea Weber, that this is not some, they're just going on the cheap.
Well, again, I think, let me try to answer this in the bigger picture. I think as a manager, you have to have a 3 to 5 year game plan, a vision of where you see the franchise. My vision is us competing and winning the Stanley Cup. I think your clubs evolve at different situations based on their competitiveness, the age of your franchise, or what have you. A lot of things that have taken place that culminated last week were started when Jason Arnott was traded. I mean, we turned over our leadership to Shea Weber, Ryan Suter, and the younger core of players. And I think, in time, I mean, what's happened, like a lot of the older players, whether it be J.P. Dumont, Sully, Gotch, and unfortunately Lombardi because of injury, had to be changed out to get us to where we are today. And as I always break it down by position, I mean, we've got our two goalies, they're both at the right age, they're both really good. We can win a Stanley Cup with them. Our defense, even without Cody France, and we've got Ellis, we've got Yossi, we've got these other guys, with Shea Weber and Ryan Suter anchoring our defense, we can be one of the best defenses in the National Hockey League. Where we need work is on our forwards. And we got a real bad break when Lombardi, it was a great signing, I think, a year ago.
Right.
But we got a real bad break, and obviously he paid the biggest price because he's the one who's concussed. He's being paid top money and taking a top 6 forward position that my frame of mind just paralyzed this last year from doing anything. And again, the good news is our owners were, you know, cognizant of this. And then when opportunity presented itself in the face of Mike Fisher last year, we were able to make that deal to acquire him. So I think, again, we're just setting up in the same situation. As I always tell our scouts, and, you know, we get to this July 1, like, oh, what about this guy? What about that guy? I said, it's not important that we just sign a player. It's we got to get the right player. And I think even though our forwards have been maligned a little bit from the offensive standpoint, I mean, what's Patrick Hornquist? He's 23. Castisian's 24. We got this Burke Forrest, who might be another Castisian. He's 24. We got a lot of young guys that, you know, are far from their potential. And, again, my job is hopefully to find one or two more forwards somewhere along the way, whether that's, you know, this week or maybe sometime during the season like we did with Mike Fisher. But I think we got a lot of pieces in place that, you know, we can keep this core of this team together for a lot of years, and we can compete and hopefully win a Stanley Cup.
David, as I ask this, I'm as guilty as anybody on this of almost, you know, treating Lombardi like kind of a piece of meat in this thing and saying, okay, good, they were able to get him out of here. They, you know, they've been relieved of his salary. But there's a human being behind this, and I don't know him. I've never met him. Virtually none of us have seen him this year.
Mm-hmm.
You have. What has his life been like?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, if you think it was really comfortable picking up the phone and telling Matthew Lombardi that he was traded, that's a what? I mean, that's the last thing that he thought would happen, especially in his situation. I mean, Lombardi had a baby just before training camp. His wife had a baby. There's two children, young children. Good guy. I mean, we do our homework. I mean, everything's good except that he's concussed. It was a bad break for us and a terrible break for him. So, but you know, again, it's almost like a subtraction, hopefully, that we can go forward to make some additions. It's not a feeling to have to do that type of a deal all the time. But again, if you had told me a year ago at this time, when Arnott didn't want to be here any longer, that this is what our team looked like, this was the age of our team, this is the potential of our team, I think we're in a real good place. I know we've got to have some guys that have to play better, especially in the forward end. And I know probably we need to find another top six forward along the ilks of a Mike Fisher. And I can't tell you if that's going to be, you know, now or, you know, maybe later in the season, but we're going to be looking for that piece.
David Poile, Predators general manager, is with us here on the Zone. David, I want to get you to talk a little more in detail about Bergfors, because here's a guy that 2 years ago had a year that was very similar to Sergei Kostitsyn's production numbers of a year ago. Last year, even in what had to be considered a disappointing year, where he was traded, played for a couple of teams, still had more goals and assists than Joel Ward, who you lose. And he's a former first-round pick who's been a pretty big chip in some trades before. Tell us more about him and why you were able to get him at such a bargain price.
Well, again, he did not have a good season last year, and I think a lot of people just shied away from him or didn't pay close attention to him. If you look at his resume, first-round draft pick in New Jersey Devils, came over, played really well for New Jersey, such that he was a big, big piece of the deal that allowed them to get Kovalchuk from New Jersey. Again, I'm sure when Atlanta made that deal, they thought they were getting a real up-and-coming young scorer, certainly a top-six forward. For whatever reasons, you know, maturity, wrong place, wrong time, who he's playing with, he didn't play well. They gave up on him, trading at the trading deadline to Florida, a team that was not in the playoffs. They didn't win. He didn't score. And so he's fallen off of everybody's radar. Now, if he's the player that New Jersey drafted 6 years ago, he's now 24, as a first-round pick, and how he was playing for New Jersey, then we've got ourselves another Kostitsyn. If he's not, it's probably a low-end risk to take a chance to get a guy that maybe is going to be a top-six forward for us.
And speaking of guys who have turned, Sergei Kostitsyn was a guy you hit it big on last year. I'm just curious, in the strategy that goes on between now and Friday, is it an option? Are you eligible to continue to negotiate with a guy like him or any of the other players in question? If you were to strike a deal, could you avoid, could they sort of go off the table and you could sign a contract with him before the hearing?
Yes, exactly. And I've actually talked to all of the agents and what have you. We've had some discussions. I mean, I don't think it's realistic that I'm going to be able to do. There were seven players, so five are there. One I traded. One is already signed at Linus Klassen, signed in Sweden for next year. So there's five that are applicable. I don't think it's realistic that I could sign all five of them. I'm heading to New York tomorrow, and the hearing is going to be on Friday. I'm sure, from what I know right now, that the hearing is certainly going to take place.
On Cody Franson, you touched on some of the guys that we've been hearing about for a couple of years. Ryan Ellis is one, Roman Josi. Give people a sense. When you talk to your scouts, I guess you had to have a pretty good feeling that you could replace a guy like Cody Franson, even though his skill set, he's got a pretty good strength in the way he can produce some offense. But I know there's some great tools with these guys that you feel are on the verge of being ready.
Yeah, I do. And again, we certainly didn't want to give up Cody Franson. I mean, I hope I don't have to make that type of deal ever again, you know, because there's nothing wrong with Cody, and he's a big guy. He's got a real good upside. I think he's going to get to play in a much better position in Toronto, probably in the first power play, get more minutes than he had in Nashville. So it's a great move for Cody, and again, one that I hope that we don't have to do too often. Having said that, you're exactly right. I mean, our scouting has been excellent. Our scouting on defense has been A+. And, you know, our third pair last year was O'Brien and Franson. Our third pair this year will be two of four guys, I think. It'll be all young kids. It'll be all new to the NHL. And I think we're going to be fine. I think we're going to be fine because we got Shea Weber and Ryan Suter as the kind of the glue there to play the harder minutes, the more minutes to play against the top guys. And I think these guys have enough talent to come in to be able to play. So, you know, everything's a little bit of a risk. Everything's a little bit of a projection, but that's what we do in this business.
I'm sure you can't get into too much detail on the Shea Weber situation. There was a tweet that made the rounds yesterday that something to the effect of you guys are looking long-term. He's looking a little bit shorter term, at least is where the negotiations were. If you can, just give us your assessment of if things are moving in the right direction, because you still have some time to get the deal done with your captain.
Well, again, this week has been kind of no negotiations because their agents, his agents, and we, everybody's been doing different things. So hopefully we'll get back onto the Shea track next week. I certainly want to make that and continue that to be our number one priority. You know, it's, as I said before, and it's a cliche, it's a process. There's other guys that are of some similarities, some comparisons to Shea that aren't signed or currently in negotiations. I mean, it's like who gets signed first. I mean, one guy gets signed first, it could make a big difference and allow us to move forward with Shea. So right now we're still talking. I'm confident we're going to get something done. I couldn't tell you for how long, and I certainly couldn't tell you for what the dollar amount is because we have differences in both of those right now.
Final question, and this is one that you've been through before, but you talked about the need is, of course, a top six forward. And you've mentioned right as the season ended and the World Championships were ending about the Radulov situation. Is it the type of thing where you really try to press at this point and say, okay, listen, the time is now, you know, here's what we can do? Or is it still the status quo that it's always been with him? And, hey, listen, our phone lines are open. Just give us a call if you're interested and we'll really talk.
The pessimist would say it's the status quo. The optimist would say it's going to happen. The glass half full or half empty. I think he's, I don't want to say tiring of the KHL, but I think his pride, his ego, if you will, to play with the best players in the league, I think he's accomplished as much as he's going to accomplish over there, and it's time to get here. Having said that, based on what I know and my conversations, I don't think it's going to happen this year. But, you know, if you were, you know, laying odds on it, I don't think it's like, I don't think it's 20-80. That he's not going to come back next year. I think it's more like a 50-50, even more 60-40 that he's going to come back next year. I would actually be surprised if what I've been told and if his contract truly is over, then I think he's got a good chance of coming over next year, and that would be great for him and great for us.
David, we appreciate you taking the time. I know you've got a lot of things going on, and we really appreciate your fitting a few minutes into the schedule.
Okay, guys, thank you very much. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, David.